Good morning. Well, let's start out with something different. What you got to be thankful for today? Yes. That is the answer that we'll be talking about at 11 o'clock today. I'm thankful. After we left last Sunday, in between getting ready to go to baseball camp, whatever, my daughter and some of her friends were up from Miami, so we got to eat lunch with Abby and her buddies downtown. And that was interesting. It took forever, and we got our lunch for free. They did the right thing. You know, it's always nice when a restaurant does the right thing. And that was very nice. And then last night, about 9 o'clock, some 19-year-old knucklehead got off an airplane at the airport, made it from Mississippi to Savannah via airlines on his own with a stopover in Atlanta, where he had to jump from one plane to another. So that's right. It was really, ran off the wing and jumped. Yes. Yeah. But he got here. So he's up at Pinora with the young adults. He got here, and then about 15 minutes later, after he changed and gathered a few things, I'm off to Pinora. So Pinora, see, okay, I'm just going to tell you. Here's the testimony, okay? You could be throwing horseshoes at Pinora, and if Luke knew that people from Sycamore were going to be there, he'd be there. That's because of camp. Okay, so thank every one of you who've invested in church camp for years and years. Okay, because you are why he has that strong connection with that place. He thinks it's the place. It's not. It's you, and he'll get there. He's getting there, but that's just very important to him. And I just want to say thank you for all of you who have given of your time, who have prayed, who have led. It's not a waste. Never. Today we're going to do a little different. I'm not preaching. I'm not even leading you through, other than to say, we're going to do this inductively. So I want you to open up your Bible to Job 22. It's back to one of the three amigos. It's this time it's Eliphaz. And, you know, if you remember correctly, Job said some pretty sharp things. You know, if you remember back in 21, in verse 27, he got through talking to and responding to Zophar. He said, "I know full well what you are thinking, the schemes by which you would wrong me," which was pretty much getting right in their face and talking to them. So Eliphaz is responding to Job. So we're gonna read this, and I want you to stop. Okay, put your hand up. You got a question? You got something that you feel like we need to talk about? Hand up. Stop me, and we'll pause there, and we'll deal with whatever we need to deal with. So then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "Can a man be of benefit to God?" I'm stopping there. I mean, I understand the conundrum here, and I get the tension, you know, and I understand. And I do want to, even though this is Eliphaz who's saying this, okay? And you know, Eliphaz's intention, it seems, is not to deal the right way with this question. His reason for throwing the question out was to try to polarize each one of those two views against one another. Because that was the way his system works. It's got to be either or. Which, again, if you take it in the, you can take it to either one of the extremes. And somehow, can both of these answers be accurate? Okay. And that's the thing that we, okay. Does God need us? No. He does not. Does he choose to desire to be in relationship with us? He made us for a purpose, right? So he doesn't disregard us. So somewhere in those tensions, the truth lies. So when Eliphaz asks, "Can a man be of benefit to God?" Yes, but the funny thing is, when any one of us is disobedient, and if we choose not to cooperate with God, does that mean that God's purpose will not be fulfilled if he desires that we be obedient and have his hand on us? Can any man stop God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. Talk to Herod, by the way. It's impossible. So, in a sense, yes. In a sense, no. You understand how that works? So, yes, we can, but even that seems to be a God thing. Can even a wise man benefit him? Can a wise man benefit God? Okay, answer, Anthony. It's funny that you would take that side of this one. Okay, Jim Strubble. Yeah, but even at that, I would argue that even wisdom, you could argue, as godly as what we... Okay, if we're going to say wisdom is something that God allows us to gain or develop, it's from him. Or developed by him. Yes. Even that is not something that is essential for God, but it is something that he does allow us to possess, to exercise, to put in, you know, do the application in life. What pleasure would it give the Almighty if you were righteous? Oh, now there's an operative word in there that's very important. Did you hear it? What pleasure would it give the Almighty if you were righteous? If, right there, the talons come out and all of the maybe we're just making nice talk goes away. What would he gain if your ways were blameless? Oh, well, obviously, that's New Testament. That's the Father talking about Jesus. I think if you put all these four questions together, as Eliphaz begins, he really gets to his, you begin to see his true purpose as you look at where the questions go as opposed to where they begin. When he is saying, what pleasure would it give the Almighty if you are righteous? His insinuation is, again, an accusing one. What would he gain if your ways were blameless? So essentially, he's saying, okay, look at all this stuff that's happened to you, Job. And he's saying, he thinks Job's arguing backwards. In other words, for God to do all this stuff to you, Job, what would that do for God if you were what you say, righteous and blameless? Does that make sense? What he's asking Job, why would God do this stuff to you if you really were righteous and blameless as you claim? Verse 4, is it for your piety that he rebukes you and brings charges against you? Was Eliphaz there when God was talking with... Who brought the charges? Yeah, it wasn't God. God was saying, here's my boy. Satan was saying, just give him to me for a little while. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what the truth is that Eliphaz can't see past his system. When he says, is it for your piety that he rebukes you and brings charges against you? No, Eliphaz is saying, Job has sinned, and that's why God squashed him. Is not your wickedness great? Are not your sins endless? Well, that's one of those things where if you're doing that, you got 3 points right back at you. But Eliphaz does not seem to be understanding the situation in that way, which is why this speaks very loudly to us about any form of religion and to hold on to the form of religion to essentially shun mercy, grace, and forgiveness in order to have somewhat of, I guess, control, to lift oneself up, to compare oneself to someone else in order to try to, you know, be perceived as better. Those are very dangerous things. Yes. So he goes on, he says, you demanded security from your brothers for no reason. You stripped men of their clothing, leaving them naked. Now, this is no longer veiled accusations. Now, what's your tendency about as you hear him say things like that? What do you think? Do you think that was true? Or do you think that was, you gave no water to the weary, and you withheld food from the hungry? Though you were a powerful man, owning land and an honored man, living on it. And you sent widows away empty-handed and broke the strength of the fatherless. Then he says, that is why snares are all around you, why sudden peril terrifies you, why it is so dark you cannot see, and why a flood of water covers you. We're in court. What would we say? All right, where's the evidence, bud? Now, if we're journalists, we don't do that anymore. The accusation is because we follow the rule of perception. Perception is reality. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw up. No, a lie can be perception, and that's not reality. We can't keep bowing to that God. So Eliphaz is saying, my perception is all this bad stuff happened because you sinned, and because you won't confess your sin. If they knew all these things, why did they not earlier in the dialogue say, well, here you go, don't you think maybe, and then you know, they could have processed this. There's no redemptive purpose in what they're doing here. Oh, we just didn't know. We just didn't know. Yeah, they could have, but then it would be a whole lot, but then they would be a lot less pompous because it would be, you know, he would be giving it right back to him. Is not God in the heights of the heaven? And see how lofty are the highest stars. Yet you say, what does God know? Does he judge through such darkness? Have you heard Job say anything like that? Thick clouds veil him, so he does not see us as he goes about in the vaulted heavens. Why will you keep to the old path that evil men have trod? They were carried off before their time, their foundations washed away by a flood. So evidently, we're talking about all those evil people that God got rid of in the flood that he saved Noah through. They said to God, leave us alone. What can the Almighty do to us? Yet it was he who filled their houses with good things, so I stand aloof from the counsel of the wicked. Has Job said to God, leave me alone? Has Job in any way said, what can God do to me? This just doesn't make sense. This is a lot of presupposition, a lot of assumption. He says, the righteous see their ruin and rejoice. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our foes are destroyed and fire devours their wealth. What kind of attitude is that? We have to be real careful when we presume and then prophesy what God is doing. Because it's one thing to say, okay, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't please God that's going on around here. And that very well may be, would be extremely accurate about a lot of places. Even good old Savannah, who has, if you look at, Jay could probably tell us a little bit, but the human trafficking aspect in Savannah is one that is kind of under the line a lot. It comes out, rears its ugly head every once in a while, but it is something that unfortunately, in law enforcement circles, we're known for. So does something bad happen to Savannah because we haven't tackled that? And that's the issue. That's the bottom line. We know Sodom and Gomorrah was a God thing. We know the flood was a God thing. There are a lot of other natural events. We don't know if they are or not. And so it's better to say what we know to be true safely than to say things that we do not know are true, even if there's a difference between our conviction and truth. Do we understand that? We can have a conviction that a certain event happened because, but to declare it as it is from God is a different thing. That is the attitude that I was wanting to see if we would pick up on it. Which then, if Eliphaz's viewpoint is true, is Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, would they be justified then in mocking Job by what he just said? Yes. The innocent, because they're innocent. The righteous, because they're righteous. How do they know that? Because they haven't been squashed. But because Job has been squashed, then they are duly deputized to point their fingers, to mock him, and whatever, accuse him. Now you and I know in the fullness of time, and because we have received the message of Jesus, Son of God, He would tell us that's wrong. He showed us that's wrong. Nothing in our spirits tell us that's right. Exactly what Gale said. So Eliphaz goes on, he says, submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. I'm sorry, I feel like I'm watching a TV preacher. Does that not smack of that same kind of attitude for you? You think Job's been, has he submitted himself to God? I mean, what does he have that you could possibly consider that he has held back? He's sitting on an ash heap in a sackcloth. That's right. Accept instruction from His mouth and lay up His words in your heart. You think Job's done that? But it's like he's accusing him of doing something that he's been doing the whole time. When has he refused that? He's crying out. He's crying out so much that he's even listening to these three guys in front of him. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent, and assign your nuggets to the dust, your gold of Ophir to the rocks in the ravines, then the Almighty will be your gold, the choicest silver for you. So has Job ever run away from God, as far as we can tell? Is he wrestling with God? Yes, he is. Is he questioning God? Yes, he is. But he's never turned tail and run. Surely then, you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to God. You will pray to Him and He will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. What you decide on will be done, and light will shine on your ways. Anything in there that you kind of have a question about? So what are we promised? Now, again, we're going to fast forward to Jesus, because that's where we are. So what are we promised? Okay, He's with us. All right, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, no matter what. Okay, we will be with Him. We are more than overcomers. Okay, all right. What else we promised? Okay, absent in the body, present with the Lord. Okay, we will be with Him, just like Jesus promised His disciples. We will be with Him wherever He is. Okay, okay. That, like Jesus suffered, suffering will, too, complete our maturity. Okay? Which would be a big hairball for these guys to swallow. Now, the truth is that one of the things that is at the root of everything that they're saying is true. And that is, if we will live in accordance with God's ways, then our lives will have a quality that the world cannot control or dictate. And that will bring us contentment, satisfaction. That is something that the world does not understand. And that the world has interpreted, in fact, then, many in certain places in the world, the church has allowed it to be interpreted as either wealth or comfort, being comfortable, or things being convenient. And we happen to live in the country where that is one of the things that runs rampant. That's different from having a satisfaction and a contentment. All right, you see how this relates to what we're seeing from Mr. Eliphaz? If we're married and we are faithful to our spouse, there is a blessing in that. If we're married and we do not, there is a very serious consequence, would you not say, that begins before even that marriage is dissolved legally. There's something that eats at that relationship, that eats at that family construct and destroys it. Okay, so that is an example there of, yes, listening to God, obeying God, following God, doing things God's way does have certain positive consequences. Yes. And then not doing that does have certain negative consequences. Yes, but it's not a system to where we can manipulate and control it. Does that make sense? Oh, that's true. Absolutely. Everything God does has an element of miraculous in it, right? No, marriage is no exception. When men are brought low and you say, lift them up, then he will save the downcast. That's when you're doing it right, when you're living right. He will deliver even one who is not innocent, who will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Yeah, that's a good argument. And also, we are bowed before God and acknowledge His sovereignty and His purpose. We have brothers and sisters right now across the face of the planet that are suffering simply because they have said they follow Jesus and their lives have lined up with what God has done in their lives and the change that He's brought. Those people are not punished because they've sinned. They're punished because they've been faithful. So all this argument about bad things happening to people who have sinned has a severe problem. It hits the wall at one point or another. Just like everyone who's faithful can't just pray away every problem they have. Because God's purpose is bigger than any one of our problems, which is what hit me several years ago, and I keep telling you, I think, every time I get a chance to, is seeing what Rick Warren put in the beginning of that book that he wrote, Purpose-Driven Life. I didn't really care about much of what was in the book, but there was one little sentence that got me. It's not about you. And when I realized that I was not the center of the universe and what God does in my life, it's about what God's doing, and it's not how I handle things and how I deal with things is what makes my life a joy or misery. But God's at work. And I want to be excited. I want to be thrilled. I want to see how God uses whatever He puts me through. Because it's not putting me through it. I know that He's with me. I know that He's for me. But whatever I've got to endure and whatever He allows me to endure is going to be for His glory. And I'm going to embrace His purpose and not think that because my life is right, I can then pray and expect God to do what I want Him to do because I've got the control. Because I followed the system. Because I prayed the right prayer. I did the right things. Therefore, God has to do what I want Him to do. That's heresy. I hear you. Yes. 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 That's true. One other connection I want to make to this and then we'll close. This is why it's so dangerous. Now, understand how I'm saying this. It's so dangerous when we get so enamored with those who share the gospel with us because it is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Those preachers are no better than you. Dusty and Dana, we're human beings. We're fallible. We're broken just like everybody else. And so was Billy Graham. And so is anybody else who is an awesome person in the purpose of God. And we've got to be very careful because if we start saying, just like in the New Testament, I think it was in Corinthians, where Paul was saying, don't start saying, I'm one of Paul's, I'm one of Peter's, I'm one of Apollos's. We run into problems. Now I'm one of Jesus's. And it's about grace. So we've got to be careful whenever we start responding to those people and holding people up on a pedestal. Just because they're the ones who preached, even though they preached, they're still just like you. That makes sense? All right, we get back to Job next week. Got anything else that you see here that you want to talk about? All right, let's pray. Carol, would you lead us as we close?